Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the final day of 2024. It's New Year's Eve on the 31st of December 2024. I'm Ian DeEubank, joined today by C.J. Miller with the news, including Ted McKinney reaction to new Trump nominees for the Department of Ag. Also, we'll check the benefits of adding new hybrids and varieties to your seed plans in 2025. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them today to learn more. FFBT.com. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for more rain today and an Arctic blast to start the new year. And more mixed markets yesterday. John Zanker analysis straight ahead on the Hoosier Ag Today New Year's Eve podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
An Indiana ag leader shares high praise for Trump's nominees to lead USDA, and a look back at corn and soybean yields in 2024. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, by now you may have heard that President-elect Trump has nominated Brooke Rollins of Texas to serve as his U.S. Ag Secretary, and Stephen Vaden of Tennessee to become the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture.
I'm very pleased with these two choices, and I think they'll serve agriculture not only well, but very well.
That's Ted McKinney, who serves as CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. McKinney previously served as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs during Trump's first administration. McKinney says that Rollins is a great choice to lead USDA.
I think perhaps the most important thing we in agriculture should look at, and clearly that the president looked at, was to get someone that he trusts completely, that has his ear, and for us in ag, that the vice versa is true, that he has her trust and so forth. And I think that is clearly the case. I mean, her role most recently in the last Trump administration as chair of the Domestic Policy Council, that is no slouch position. Let me just tell you, that is an important role.
He also points to her lifelong connections with the ag industry.
Most people may not have heard her much. She's not been in the ag industry solely for her career, but at Texas A&M, her degree is in ag development. And then through her time going through law school, leading a not-for-profit, then at the White House, she dealt with ag issues, just not as publicly as perhaps you and I would see, not on the headlines every day. So the fact that she's got those ag chops and has the trust of the president and vice versa is great by me.
McKinney also has high praise for Stephen Vaden, whom he worked with directly at USDA.
He was the general counsel at USDA, a position that doesn't always get a lot of notoriety. But the man is a smart cookie. Let me tell you, he knows the law. That was affirmed when he was selected to be the judge of the International Trade Court. He comes from a farm in Tennessee, I believe, Vanderbilt grad. So I think he has a very good and broad perspective that is going to support Brooke Rollins very well.
Both Rollins and Vaden will need to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate before assuming their new roles at USDA. The department has 29 agencies, over 106,000 federal employees, and a budget of more than $437 billion. Well, the calendar is turning away from another year of immense variability in corn and soybean crops across the Corn Belt. Andy Eubank joins us now and has a look back and a look ahead.
In the year just ended, weather and planting conditions and timing were all variable, and yields ranged from disappointing to very good. But one thing is clear, and that is
the improvement over time of the genetics.
That's Bob Perley, a Dairyland Seeds district sales manager.
As a regional brand, as part of Corteva, we deliver, you know, kind of the strength of Corteva's genetics and traits to our area. And it's a really powerful combination. And I think about the kind of year we had, and and the performance we still delivered that these products did. I think back, 15, 20 years, in a year like this weather-wise, I don't think we see the yields that we actually saw this year. So the improvement in the genetics and traits has been amazing.
Planning has been underway for the 2025 season, and Perlee says it makes sense to not only stick with tried and true hybrids in your cornfields, but to possibly add some new technologies to the seed going in the ground.
I work directly with growers, and that's a conversation we have often. So we certainly want to keep using things that have worked in the past. One of the most important things a farmer, or I think growers, look for is consistency and predictability. You want to avoid as much risk as possible. So yes, certainly guys want to hang on to things that have worked in the past. And on the corn side, we do a lot of that. But yeah, we introduce new products. We do that in a lot of ways. Within Dairyland, working with Mark Gibson, our kind of agronomist or technical agronomist for this area, we have a program called PXP, and that allows farmers to get a heads-up look at brand new products that will be available a year down the road.
He says since there is enough field size data available on the new hybrids, growers can plant those with confidence. Perlee adds soybean growers are quicker to jump on adding new varieties because of their proven yield and agronomic advantages. Hear more in his full comments at our website. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller. Happy New Year from all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got much cold or air to start off the new year, 2025. Going to start with an Arctic blast, and we get the party started here through the daytime hours today. Honestly, it started overnight last night as we had another round of low pressure exit the Central Plains and move towards us. Here's what's going on. Rain has already moved into the state, coming in again last night. It continues through the day today as low pressure tracks right through central Indiana. At this point, I'm looking for most of the precipitation for today to stay rain from I-70 south. Where I think it gets a little interesting is north of I-70, because cold air is coming very, very quickly. I'm not going to rule out rain ending as snow and maybe some sloppy, slushy accumulation out there. The accumulation is probably limited to grassy surfaces, insulated surfaces, that's it. But we're going to see precipitation all the way through sunset, ending as that sloppy, wet snow. And in southern Indiana, I won't rule out sloppy, wet snowflakes this evening toward midnight before everything winds down as it's done. Through tomorrow, New Year's Day, brutal cold air starts to move towards us. Arctic blast is on the way. Lake effect, that's something we need to talk about probably for Wednesday and Thursday. A large part of it's going to be Michigan, but I think in northern Indiana we can see some flurries off and on, and we're definitely going to be seeing some clouds trying to come off the Great Lakes. By the time we get late week Friday, we're looking at just mixed clouds and sunshine. Pretty decent setup, except it's cold. And we go into the weekend Saturday with the same kind of setup. Chilly, but seeing some sunshine. Sunday is interesting. We've got low pressure digging down into the Oklahoma area, picking up quite a bit of moisture off the Gulf of Mexico, wrapping around that low. And then overnight Sunday night through Monday, this low comes out of Oklahoma, moves through the boot heel of Missouri, and through the Ohio Valley. That track, if it holds, can be a very interesting one for Indiana, because from the Ohio River southward, even maybe up to I-70 southward, we probably see rain, but there is cold air here. Remember, it's been cold by this point almost a week here, and we see a reinforcing shot of cold air coming behind this system. So I think that there may be an area of snow, significant snow, that comes from central Missouri across central Illinois and maybe into northern Indiana. Way too soon to put totals on it. Way too soon to talk about track. Just 24 hours ago, the tracks were all over the place with this low, all the way down through Tennessee, up through northern Indiana, and models are starting to zero in on this track that I just kind of talked about, looking out of Oklahoma and heading towards us. Those are the kinds of systems that can be interesting for us. So we're going to have to watch it closely. But either way, moisture is coming as we start next week. And behind that moisture, another round of an exceptional cold blast is going to be here. Temperatures next week colder than what we're seeing this week. Once that system is gone, probably Monday night, Tuesday, we should see lake effect for a couple of days and then just cold air dominating with Arctic high pressure nearby through the rest of the week. The weekend of the 11th and 12th, we may not see another weather system here till close to Monday the 13th. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. It's definitely a cold start to 2025. Get ready. I'm Ryan Martin.
Well, we've survived another year, another growing season, another election cycle, and plenty of market volatility. All of us at Hoosier Ag Today are proud that we've been able to keep you informed of the latest farm news, markets, and weather developments in 2024, and honored that once again you have made us the most listened to farm network in the state. On air and online, and ready for 2025, we are Hoosier Ag Today.
A mixed close and fairly close to steady on the day. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. We'll have the final numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. For that, at the end of trade, I checked in with John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. John, the markets were back and forth, really mostly hovering around steady. Actually, the trading range was a little beyond what it's been recently. But in the end, we finished right around even in pre-holiday trade. Once again, what did you see 2 days before the new year?
Well, we have to be a little disappointed with today's action. We're sitting here with March corn about 7 cents off its high, trading in the red now. And we have beans, the March contract. Of course, Jan first notice day tomorrow for the Jan. So we're giving up on that one. $9.90, that's 14 cents off the high for March. So disappointing action there. Not terribly shocking, given that we had a pretty good bounce off the lows. So January beans got up to $9.94. That's about 50 cents off the low tick from earlier this month, and a pretty good bounce in corn as well. So I'm not sure there's a lot to be concerned about there, as long as the forecast doesn't change back to a cooler and wetter pattern for Argentina and southern Brazil.
But the weather there, forecasts are seemingly getting a little hotter and drier.
Definitely for Argentina. Now, they've gotten off to a good start, and it's essentially June there. So there's still some planting going on in parts of Argentina. But, you know, we don't shove hot and dry to the back burner here in June, no matter how good the crop looks, because we simply don't know how long it's going to last. And that's what we're seeing in Argentina. And Argentina's corn crop's more important than the Brazilian first corn crop. So it's kind of a big deal. And as good as our export demand has been with corn and soybeans, you know, the trade's going to look at this as something to be concerned about. And hopefully there's some extra punch there in the coming days, maybe even weeks.
Export inspections out on Monday morning, John, and in the range of expectations for corn, soybeans, and wheat. So maybe a non-factor, that report?
I think if you look at the corn at 34.6, that's a little under expectations maybe, but we have that holiday in there, Andy, and so I don't think the trade's overly concerned about that. I don't think that's why the board broke off its highs. 57.7 beans, you know, that's seasonally a pretty good number. Of course, we're coming down off of the high weeks that we saw in October and early November. So all said, I can be happy with that number. 12.4 on wheat, continuing to be on the disappointing side there, although we're well ahead of last year.
We're about to wrap up 2024 overall. As you look back at the year in the markets, where are you? Okay, disappointed, certainly not exuberant.
No, I would say exuberance not in that in that thought. But, you know, we had a nice three-year run. We had a three-year bull market that came to an end this year, so we can be happy with what we've seen in the past 3 years, but we're just getting caught here in a situation where we had a big corn crop, bean crop certainly fell off at the end, Argentina, Brazil came back and had record bean production this in 24, and we're staring down the throat of another huge South American crop potentially, so you know, and then potentially a trade war. And so we're struggling to finish 2024 on a positive note. But, you know, all things considered, with where I thought we could be back in August before we went to the hot and dry side here, I'm pretty pleased with where prices are now. I would have thought that we had a chance of seeing, you know, the nearby bean contract pretty close to the $9 mark, corn falling under the $4 mark for sure. So I think we're in better shape than we thought we were going to be. But 2025 is going to have some bumps to it. I think that's a pretty safe statement right now, Andy.
Well, we appreciate working with you in 2024 and previous years as well. Look forward to it in 25. And Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year to you as well, Andy, and we're looking forward to it as well.
John Zanker, Market Analysis. John is with Risk Management Commodities, and the number there is 866-837-9027. Now the Monday numbers at closing time, March corn down a penny and three quarters at 452 and a quarter, a penny and a half lower for the May contract, 460, July 463 and a quarter, down a penny and a quarter. 2 cents up, Jan and March beans, January 982. March finishes at 991 and three quarters. May back over the $10 mark, 1003, up 2.5 cents. And March wheat, 548 and a quarter, up a penny and three quarters. Mostly lower on the meat markets. February live cattle, 190 and 30 cents, 35 cents lower. And February lean hogs, 81.62, down $2.52. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.